morning. Lizzie and I have just been sitting and chatting for a while, as we often do before we begin. And I noticing myself feeling glad to be with you, Lizzie, and glad at everyone else who's joining us, and enormously grateful that so many of you are choosing to be part of this with us. And we have a really beautiful source this morning, which Lizzie chose. So I think I'm going to say nothing else apart from welcome to everyone. We're glad you're with us. And I know very little about how Lizzie came to choose this one, so I'm looking forward to finding out as we go.
Morning, everybody. The cool thing about today is that last night I sprayed my hair pink and I didn't do a very good job, so I kind of sprayed this big clump in my scalp. And I'm sitting here and looking at the video thinking, oh my goodness, you can actually see that I've done a bad job of spraying my hair pink. And my sister got me this like little can of pink hairspray that's like a kind of semi-permanent thing. So I have no idea how long it will take me to get it out, but I'm just slightly amused at myself having pink hair. And quite happy because I've wanted pink hair for quite a long time, but I haven't worked out how. So, good morning from pink-haired me. And this source, Justin was saying he's not aware yet of how come I chose this source. Well, I was clearing out some cards the other day and going through them and reading them again from my birthday in the summer. And my godmother had sent me this Mary Oliver poem. And in a way, I think there's a way that this particular godmother, Barbara, sees me. And one of the ways that she wanted to bring what she sees in me to me was in this poem. And the message was something like, may people continue to experience the brightness of you as this sunflower in the world. And I know that she loves Mary Oliver as a poet as well. So as I read it, I really felt not only the connection with how my godmother sees me, but also so much other stuff. So I thought it was a good source to bring. So I'm going to read it first, and then Justin's going to read it, and then we're going to talk.
Lizzie, before we do, we should do a small technical thing,
Yeah.
which is, are we side by side on Facebook or are we?
Yeah, I put
We
it
are on
into
your own.
gallery view and
Yeah,
we're
I can
side by
see that.
side.
Okay. Super.
So, Sunflowers by Mary Oliver. Come with me into the field of sunflowers. Their faces are burnished discs. Their dry spines creak like ship masts. Their green leaves, so many and heavy, fill all day with the sticky sugars of the sun. Come with me to visit the sunflowers. They are shy, but want to be friends. They have wonderful stories of when they were young, the important weather, the wandering crows. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. Their bright faces, which follow the sun, will listen, and all those rows of seeds, each one a new life. Hope for a deeper acquaintance, each of them, though it stands in a crowd of many like a separate universe, is lonely, and the long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy. Come and let us talk with those modest faces, the simple garments of leaves, the coarse roots in the earth, so uprightly burning.
So I'm going to read it as well. Come a little closer to do this. Okay, here we go. Come with me into the field of sunflowers. Their faces are burnished discs. Their dry spines creak like ship masts. Their green leaves, so heavy and many, fill all day with the sticky sugars of the sun. Come with me to visit the sunflowers. They are shy, but want to be friends. They have wonderful stories of when they were young, the important weather, the wandering crows. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. Their bright faces, which follow the sun, will listen, And all those rows of seeds, each one a new life, hope for a deeper acquaintance. Each of them, though it stands in a crowd of many, like a separate universe, is lonely. The long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy. Come, and let us talk with those modest faces, the simple garments of leaves, the coarse roots in the earth, so uprightly burning. I can't help feeling this, Lizzie, whenever I see one of Mary Oliver's many extraordinary poems about the wonders of the natural world, of the growing world, living world around us, that she's inviting us to do something which is so hard for so many of us to do, and which is really touching me as I heard you read and then as I read myself, which is that's me. That everything in the natural world is us, and when we are I'm going to say it these two ways, brave enough and gentle enough to see ourselves in the sunflowers and to see the sunflowers in us, or ourselves in the curve of a branch or the bark of a tree or the fall of the waterfall or the flying of a bird, that we get to see ourselves much more truly than the small, tight misunderstandings of ourselves that we often have, which have us feel so alone and so frustrated and so hopeless or self-important, either way. I'm really moved by recognizing that of you and me and all of us in the midst of these extraordinary flowers that she's talking about.
Yeah. And Justin, it strikes me that as we get to know ourselves as a sunflower or a piece of bark or a tree or anything, there's an invitation to self-knowledge and self-understanding and self-getting, which then leads us to be able to be in relationship with other people. Like, if I know myself as somebody who, if somebody approached, would answer questions, even though I might look afraid, or I might look like I feel like I'm separate, or I might look awkward, then maybe with other people, in spite of how they might seem, I might move towards them and scratch the surface a little, because I know that all everybody's attempts to maybe keep me away or be separate from me aren't the deepest longing that they have. And so in reading this, and the way that she speaks of this feeling of being a separate universe and yet all together, there's something really familiar to me about that, that we're all in close quarters, we're all together and yet many times so far apart, and we're afraid to connect with people, and we're afraid to ask questions and be in relationship with people in a way that feels real sometimes, because we're worried about what people think of us, or we're feeling, you know, whatever the manifestation of separateness might be. And this poem articulating us as sunflowers with all these attributes suggests to me that there is a way that we are bright beyond our own knowing. And that brightness is something that is real and can be connected with in each of us. So it feels to me like a big invitation to, as you say, Justin, consider ourselves as this, and to remember that ourselves is each other at the same time. And it speaks of history and the richness of each of our intricate lives that we can't possibly know about each other ever. And we can ask some questions.
You have such a beautiful way of speaking, Lizzie, and I felt really, really moved when you said, we're bright beyond our knowing. And there's a way for those of us, any of us who grew up in the West, particularly, I think, and I won't speak for any other culture because I didn't grow up in any other culture, but I know that over here, we swim, even before we've started, in a sea of a story about what it is to be a human being that's quite the opposite from that. We learn that we're anything but bright beyond our knowing. In fact, our work is to find out how terrible we are. And if we're lucky to overcome it, but I also think there's a premise in the narrative around people in the West is, but you can't overcome it. It will never be, you can never be redeemed, really. So just put up with your awfulness and with other people's awfulness and feel ashamed. And it's strong and subtle and invisible and barely talked about. And it's why a poem like Mary Oliver's or what you just said is so powerful. But I was also going to say, sharp. I can feel the sharpness of it, even in its generosity, which is, people are bright, we're bright beyond our knowing. And the Mary Oliver says this so beautifully near the end. The line that moved me the most in the whole poem is the long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy. And that's right. We are, I know this is true of me, it seems so self-evident that everything else, that the world is the opposite to that.
Yeah.
So we have to really pay attention and start to look at one another in this way, start to see the shining something that we all are in order to also be able to see it in ourselves. And I think one of the really beautiful invitations in this poem, that she has this be a field of sunflowers. And if you've ever been to, any of us who've been to a field of sunflowers, the first thing you notice is how alike they all are.
Mm.
Of course, when you get close, you find out they're all really different to one another. But just like we have to see a field of sunflowers and go, oh my goodness, there are 100,000 sunflowers here and they're all shining and it's really evident to us. We have to be able to look this way at one another and see the extraordinary shared beauty and gifts that there are here in every person. And that's also a way in which we get to see it in ourselves, which is no less important than seeing it in anyone else, actually. But you have both seem to me have to happen at the same time.
Yeah. And I as well, I think the long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy is really the reason I brought this poem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that line hit me, I was like, in a way, like what I was doing was part of this, which is I was reading cards that people had sent me. And it feels to me like the kind of phrase that's kind of coming to me is like the discipline of joy. Which is that there are 1,000 reasons any time, any day to focus on the not joy, to practice the not joy, to be in my self-criticism or my lack of faith or my the way that my self-belief can wane, the ways I criticize other people, the ways I feel doom, you know, and thank God for all of those things too, because the depths of those things in me allow the depth of joy, I think, to be present, but also there is a way that those things are gifts, and there's a way that it feels like the balance can be tipped without the discipline of joy, the discipline of gratitude, discipline of hold on a second, even though I feel this, what else is here? And that feels to me like an act of self-remembering, given what we're saying about self and brightness, to remember that at any given moment of brightness, there is darkness, and when there is darkness, there's brightness. And it takes quite something to remember that in the midst of an experience, in the midst of a reaction, in the midst of a trigger, in the midst of a wound. It can feel like the thing we're in is everything. And so to be invited by this poem, other poems, people, practices, the sky, a tree, to widening in any given moment myself out into more of an experience than the tunnel I've just gone down, or the tunnel I found myself in for 5 years. There's a way that this poem reminds me that it is a long work to turn my life into a celebration, and it's not done ever. And I think that's what it means to me anyway, to have it articulated as a long work, because the not doneness of everything feels like lots of the time I wish it was done. I wish I was done. Like I wish everything was done. Like I was a fixed version of myself that had everything sorted out. Everything was okay. We had enough money. We had enough of this. We had enough of that. And it would just be predictable. There's that wish, and there's also the knowing and the understanding that that would be death to things that require aliveness, and I would never want not to have the aliveness, but that in amongst it all, this widening of what else is here, asking always what else is here, including am I here? Like in this reaction, in this wound, am I really in this? And then being questioning of what I means. And if I have I as some kind of brightness, as well as 100 million other things, probably, that does feel like a discipline, a commitment to bringing an understanding, an inquiry about more than just what's happening right now that I can perceive in my narrow self.
You talked about the disciplines of joy and gratitude in the midst of what you were saying. And I am really touched and enlivened by this theme you're bringing in about there's always, whatever it is that we can see and experience, that's always part of something way, way bigger that we often barely have a sense of. And there's so much to say about this, but the thing that I find myself wanting to say about it now is I can so appreciate in what you're saying that joy is not some, the commitment to joy, the discipline of joy is not some simplistic positive thinking move. Oh, I'm in some terrible anguish about how short of money I am, or the difficulty I'm in with a member of my family, or my despair about this or that. And it would be an awful simplification to go, let me not feel all of those. Let me have those be separate. And the work here is just to somehow feel joyful, well, happy. And that the possibility of cultivating joy and gratitude is an inclusive, I said exactly the opposite of what I meant, it's an including, it's an inclusive move, that to turn our lives into a celebration, the long work of turning our lives into a celebration is to include all of our heartache and all of our pain and all of our apparent shortcomings and all of the things we did wrong that we regret and all of our because those are the consequences of being alive and being a living thing and being in relationship. And it's really apparent if you go and look at a field of real sunflowers, they're nothing like plastic sunflowers. They're not uniform, they're different to one another. They get burnt by the sun. The seeds sometimes fall out. Some of them have scraggly petals and... When we learn how to celebrate that, then I think we also have in ourselves, we have a chance of cultivating what I think you mean, at least what I'm taking you mean by joy, which is not at all simplistic positive thinking, but much more opening to the extraordinariness of being here, even when it really hurts.
Mm.
Which I'm just going to be at pains to say doesn't mean loving the hurt. I'm saying it this way because I can feel in me the wish I sometimes have to simplify, to go, well, you know, if only my life wasn't like this and wasn't like this and wasn't like this. Or to simplify and saying, well, maybe I should love being hurt. No, I don't mean any of those things. And yet exactly what you're saying is that our perspective is always way narrower than the whole. And that's why I think there's such wisdom in getting out of our houses and into the fields and forests and next to the ponds or the rivers or whatever it is that we can find that's near us, because sunflower fields, if you're lucky enough to live somewhere near sunflower fields, because that's one of the ways in which we can get reminded of this when we encounter the world that's other to us but is clearly shared with us. We're, I think, much more likely, most of us, to get a feel for the huge something that we're all being brought forth from. And just like in a field of sunflowers, you can see this really easily, that the sunflowers come from something that's bigger than each sunflower.
Mm-hmm.
They've emerged from a background which makes sunflowers possible. It's the same with us. And maybe it's when we forget this that we're so easily thrown into our smallness and our despair and our turning away and our, here's the link with our big theme for this whole project, with our turning away from life.
Yeah. Mm. As you're talking, Justin, this image is coming to me of the kind of hearts that we have as human beings, and that all the things, all the experiences, all the circumstances that have difficulty in them and pain and suffering and things that we feel we would rather not face, it's like as we face into them, the space, the size, the geometry, the depth of the cave of our hearts gets widened and widened and strengthened by all of these things. And it has a possibility in it, this feeling of our hearts being forged by our experience, that relates to a deeper and deeper joy, you know, that the bigger the richer or the more nuanced a heart might be because of what's happened and what is happening, feels directly related to the kind of joy that can be felt as well. Like that they're not separate things. Like sometimes sorrow is the gateway to joy, or pain is the gateway to connection. Or there's this kind of, you know, paradoxical thing of turning towards something that hurts or that's difficult, where it feels like it might eat you alive. Maybe it's that it only eats us alive if we don't look at it. And to turn towards it, as you're saying, you know, just as a sunflower turns towards the sun, and any plant turns towards the sun, to face something can, and it can be processed through us. It's like we're mistaken that we can't process, that we are unable, that we're powerless. And as in this moment, I'm feeling like that, you know, that's definitely a mistake I make, is I think, oh, I can't handle that. I'll just kind of go like that, just push that away, avoid that, close the door on that, because I can't actually, I'm not capable of dealing with that, so I just better shut the door. And then in relationship, in consciousness, in practice, my turning into that room that I've locked the door on, that's terrifying or overwhelming or like outside of my capacity to deal with, in turning into that and turning towards that, a relief, a possibility, something else can be born than just the shutting of the door repeatedly. And I think that's what I feel like that's what life is for. That's what my life feels like it's for. Like I can't think of anything else to do that is more appropriate as a being to do than to keep opening the doors. And in the opening of those doors, it's not easy and it's not pretty, and the wholeness and the capacity to process and move into and face, that feels joyful to me even as I say it. That's what we're doing and what we keep doing, and so I'm just feeling like how bonkers it is that poem is kind of having that feeling arise. Mm. And the mysticalness of that and the joy it even brings to be in these words, in this language as well, for me.
You said just a minute ago something really, really beautiful and extraordinary. You talked about I'll say it in my words now, but the endless power of the human heart to turn towards and to keep bringing in, to integrate or include whatever it is that we face and that we have. What you said, Lizzie, that touched me so deeply, that we have really endless capacity to do this and we don't know it. And it's our very not knowing of this that has us harden ourselves. Mm-hmm. We harden our hearts so easily to, I'm thinking a lot about, you mentioned again, grief, and we've talked about grief before, about the connection between grief and joy. We harden our hearts to grief. We say, I won't be able to feel it. I won't feel it. But when we're lucky enough to remember our capacity to turn towards what's actually happening, mm-hmm. we find we have endless capacity to include, and there can be such celebration in that. It's the path to knowing our extraordinariness. And maybe one of the biggest mistakes that any of us make is to take ourselves to be way smaller and way more simple than we really are. And like you said about yourself, and this seems true for me, and I guess it's true for all of us, that the work of all of our lives is what we were talking about, James Ostrzecki, think it was James anyway, last week, about turn towards everything, exclude nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That is the long work of turning our lives into a celebration, and it's not easy. And then Mary Oliver says this so beautifully. She says, it's not easy. Come and let us talk with those modest faces, the simple garments of leaves, the coarse roots in the earth, so uprightly burning.
Mm.
That's us.
It's amazing. I'm so grateful to be in this. I feel deeply kind of invited into this. And, you know, if there was ever a moment where I doubted what it is that we're doing in the world as Third Space and as working with people, that we're in this conversation, this feels like the essence of what we want for the world and ourselves and the people that we coach and the people that we two events with. This is the deal.
So very unusually we seem to be hitting a place we can pause that's roughly connected to the amount of time we've said we'll do this for. So how would it be for you, Lizzie, if we drew this to a close?
Yeah,
for today.
Absolutely. I feel like this is very kind of potent, what we've talked about.
Yeah,
it's really great. Thank you, Justin.
Oh, thank you, Lizzie. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's been with us either live, those of you who get up on a Sunday morning, or connect in the middle of the night from wherever you are, Australia or Afghanistan or wherever in the world that you are, Singapore, America, India. We have people from so many places joining us. I want to say thank you to all of you and all of us for this effort we're making to have this be something together.
Yeah.
And all being well, we're going to be back next Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
You can, if you're still with us watching, you can tell your friends and family and colleagues about turningtowards.life is the place to find, easiest place to find what this is and point people towards. And it's great joy that people are still joining, coming and joining this group.
And one more thing, if you haven't already, please can you subscribe to our channel on YouTube, because then when we get, I think it's 100 subscribes, we can have our own little URL, which will be really good for us to be able to share our videos on YouTube as well. We'd really appreciate it if you do. I think we're on 76 now, so we haven't got far to go. So that's very exciting.
Great. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone.
Happy Sunday, everybody.
See you next week.